Well, that was a fantastic nativity, wasn't it? It was a fantastic nativity. Mary and Joseph. I'm a little biased about Mary, because Mary is played by my daughter Martha. Got a little bit confusing during the week, as she said, I'm Martha, but I'm playing Mary. And if you know the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible, they take on very different roles. Well, in the nativity, we had Mary and Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men. They all played their part. And to quote Bruce Forsyth from The Generation Game, didn't they do well? The one person who never speaks in the nativity is obviously the baby Jesus himself. I suppose if you had a big budget, you may set him up to cry and wee and maybe, you know, do something else. But the reality is, Jesus doesn't say anything at all. But, this is the but. For all of us here this morning, we all base our lives on the words of people. We base our lives on the words of people and what they tell us. So whether it's the teacher in school who inspires the children to be the best they can be, whether it's the parent every day, as they kind of, well, certainly in our house at the moment, keep saying, wipe your feet before you come through the house, as the mud is brought through. Whether it's washing your hands before you have your food, all kinds of ways where words instruct us what to do. Sometimes those words can inspire us. Sometimes those words are hard to listen to. Partly because we don't want to hear those words. Maybe we disagree with these words. Maybe it's because we don't understand the words. And maybe it's because we're not listening. And that happens to me all the time. Picture the scene. I'm driving down the A3 now. Now, I'm told that men cannot multitask. This is certainly true when I'm driving. And it's quality time for the family in this car together, driving down the A3. Unfortunately, sometimes my wife tells me things which are really important whilst I'm driving down the A3. And unfortunately, I'm not always listening. And then a few weeks later, I'll say, I didn't know that before. She said, I've told you that already. I said, when did you tell me? Oh, we were going home. We were going back to Wales on the A3. So when you tell someone something, they've got to be listening, haven't they? So fasten your seatbelts and we're going to listen to the words of Jesus. Not as a baby, but as a man of 30 years old. You see, Jesus wasn't a mute until he was 30. He said many things, I'm sure. But in our gospel reading of Mark's gospel, we don't get any words of Jesus recorded until the start of his earthly ministry. So listen to these words of Jesus. He said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So these words are from Mark, John Mark his name was, who was a biographer, one of the four biographers of the Lord Jesus. And he said these words, Jesus, and today there'll be folk in this room, in this church building, who might not understand these words, might disagree with these words. Some of you might not be listening at the moment. Okay, move away from those other thoughts and tune into this for a few moments. It may change your life. So, he said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. So these words would have been pretty shocking for those people hearing them. There's no mention of anything great. There's no great host of witnesses of angels at this point. There's no shepherds. There's no wise men. But these words of Jesus were words which change and has changed many people's lives over the course of the last 2,000 years or so. Let me just briefly look at these phrases point by point. The time has come. Jesus, when he said those words, the time has come, he was basically saying this: listen, tune in, hear what I'm saying. The next thing I'm going to say, Jesus says, is going to be needed to be listened to. At that point, there would have been all kinds of background noises. All kinds of background noises for people there. It may have been said in the background, and there was the marketplace. People were thinking about other things going on. And for us here today, at this Christmas season, there are, if it's not, we can't hear those noises now. There are noises all around us. Our head is thinking all kinds of things at the moment. Some of us are thinking about lunch. Some of us are thinking about, I haven't got all those presents I need to get. Some of us are thinking, I haven't got the money to buy these presents I need to get. Some of us are thinking, have I got the credit cards to buy these presents that I need to get? There are all kinds of background noises for many of us here this morning. And Jesus says, listen. Listen to my words. Listen to me. Focus in on what I'm saying. So he said, the time has come. He also said, the kingdom of God is near. Jesus lived amongst us. We sing it every Christmas time, the idea that God incarnate, God became man. And Jesus lived in this fallen world. And he would have seen people get away with all kinds of things where they should not have got away with those things. Jesus lived in a broken world. It wasn't as if Jesus floated around on a cloud and a bubble like you may in some sort of game where if you live in the bubble, you kind of exclude yourself from the pain of things going on. But Jesus lived amongst us. Jesus lived in this broken world. Jesus saw suffering. Jesus saw the disappointments of life when life doesn't work out as it should. Jesus saw the pain and the heartache of this world. And at Christmas time, it's a great time of celebrations, but a week on after Christmas, if you're anything like me, you buy the newspapers, you look at the internet, you look at your newspapers as you review 2016. And boy, have there been some disappointments. Have there been some worries? Have there been so many things that we did not predict? And personally, I don't know many of you that well here this morning, but every single one of you carries a story of pain, of heartache, of disappointment. No one, you see, is immune from this. And this was certainly the story and the life of Jesus as he went amongst us and saw these things happening. And yet, Jesus announces at this point, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God, that's a strange phrase, isn't it? The kingdom of God is near. In Jesus' ministry, in the next 3 years, Jesus shows us what this kingdom looks like. He was about turning things around. He was about making the sick well. He was about meeting those on the fringes of society that no one else would go near, and he would speak to them. He would hang out with them. He would turn their lives around, whether that was physically or emotionally. Jesus was about turning people's lives around. So Jesus spoke for 3 years in a significant way doing this earthly ministry for those people that maybe no one else would have anything to do with. And Jesus also, we're told, died 3 years after this earthly ministry. not because he was ill, not because he was sick, but because he took it on himself to take the sickness of this world, the sickness that all of us have. Some of us in this room are the picture of ultimate fitness. You know, I look in the mirror every morning. I've said this to some of you before, and I think, I can't believe what I'm looking at. I can't believe how well I'm made, you know. Some people look for six packs. Well, I got a one pack. It's the new way, 2017. Don't go for the six pack, go for the one pack. But, you know, Jesus saw the disappointments of life. Jesus saw the pain of life. And Jesus took the sin of the world on himself. And that's the word for it, sin. Shove off, God. I'm in charge, not you. And this we know, the Bible says, why we live in this broken world. Because we've said to God, we will live life our way, independent of you. And God says, fair enough. And we live with the choices we make. But Jesus came into this world to show us all what God's kingdom would look like as he turned around the ugliness and the mess. And ultimately, this kingdom was seen as Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin so that we could be forgiven by God. So Jesus says, the time has come. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. But he also uses this phrase that I don't really hear in my life today. That word, repent. Repent. It's not the kind of word that we use, is it? You know, I don't know if you've ever used it, but it's a strange word. But it wouldn't have been a strange word then when Jesus said these words. See, this word then, it came from Rome, and it was used by Roman commanding officers as they would use it, and it literally meant this, about turn. The word repent literally means about turn. And Jesus is saying this, we need to turn around. We need to turn around from our ways, from our own ways, and to follow God and his way. We need to respond to this by turning away from our life and the things that we live for and turn for him and therefore live for him. That's a challenge, isn't it? That's a challenge of Jesus. We can gloss over words like this, but when we realize that repent means turning around from the way we live to live the way God wants us to live, that is a challenging statement. See, all of us in this room, I don't know if you've thought about this, we all love things. We love wonderful things in this world. God has given us many things in our creation that we love. Some of us, he's given a person to love, or people to love, a family. For some of us, he's given us a place in society where we have some kind of status. For some of us, we have a job. I was chatting to someone yesterday who doesn't have a job, and they would love to have a job, but many of us have a job, and we can be thankful that we're able to provide. Some of us have lovely cars. I have car envy sometimes when I go to Southborough car park and see some of those cars after church. Some very nice cars you have. Some of you not, but some of you do. But you know, all these things are good things, but we turn the good into the great. And those things can take us away from God and the things of God. And you know what? Those things, the car, the job, the status, a person, ultimately, they will never give us what we really need. Because we know, don't we? People will let us down. The status we have only lasts for a season. I had a friend who had a very high-powered job. And when he retired quite early in his mid-50s. He had to go for counselling because he did not have that status anymore. So status, you know, that only lasts for a season. The career will end. We'll have to retire one day. Or for some, it may be redundancy. And you know what? The car, it's not going to look that smart for long, is it? So We are to turn, Jesus says, we're to turn to him and he will bring us into a relationship with God. He will restore us into the people that we were made for. Not only this, but this relationship happens because of a great cost. Not because of who we are and what we do, but a gift given by Jesus. But can I say to all of you today, that gift, that choice that we make is never an easy choice. You see, if I was a salesman this morning and try and sell you this message, I certainly would not say this next bit. See, Jesus says to follow me will cost. It'll be hard. But as Corrie ten Boom said, I'm a Christian not because it's easy, but because it's true. It won't be easy. For some of us, we may have to lose face. For some of us, we might lose our street cred. For some of us, it may cost us financially. But it's the best choice. And then lastly, Jesus said, believe the good news. Trust is a massive part of our lives, isn't it? You know, you're all sitting there this morning on these chairs, trusting it'll keep you seated. You know, I don't know if you've thought about that. It's quite a thing to trust those four legs, and some of them look a little bit wobbly, going to hold you up for the whole of this service. This is another one. This will freak some of our guests out this morning. Above some of you this morning, I'm looking roughly in the middle of the church, there is a projector. Have you ever thought that projector could drop on you and your head? That is quite a thing to sit there. I'm glad it's some of our church members who are above it at the moment, because I don't know if we've got the insurance for the others. But we have lots of things that we trust in. But in life, we are trusting in all kinds of things, aren't we? It's for some of us, it's a marriage with our husband or our wife. Will they remain faithful? At the end of the month, many of us are trusting that money will be in our account as we get paid. And moving forward, and this is a question slightly this is related, but I don't like to mention this at Christmas, but have you thought about a funeral plan? Have you thought about a funeral plan? People are advertising them everywhere. I've looked on the internet. Do you know what? The most expensive funeral of the last few years, I think, was Michael Jackson, with his casket and with all the security and all the people that flew in from all the countries. I'm not saying that you're Michael Jackson, but have you thought about getting yourself ready for death? But ultimately this morning, not just your funeral plan, but your life after death plan. That's a serious question, isn't it? That goes far beyond the funeral plan, because ultimately, if you haven't got a funeral plan, someone else will pick up the bill, I'm sure. That's what I'm hoping anyway. So, but do we have a life after death plan? See, some people think they're going to be all right in the end. Everything's going to work out. Some of us live life with weighing scales. Our good outweighs our bad. And we think, well, we've done more good than bad. And that'll get us through. Some of us think, well, don't worry, be happy, and hey, things will work out. But Jesus says that there is a choice we all face. Whether we are going to take these words as literally gospel, as literally true. Otherwise, what was his death all about? A tragic mistake? Well, ultimately, we see the confirmation of Jesus' words, not through his death, because many people died a crucified death, but ultimately through Jesus' resurrection, that he defeated the one thing that no one then or since has been able to defeat. And there we have it. Through Jesus, we see death defeated. And one day, Christians believe, and the Bible teaches, that one day we too can defeat death as we're united with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, you see, died in our place, taking the punishment for our sin, for our rebellion. And he gives us life in the kingdom now, but in the kingdom for eternity. There's lots for us to consider this morning. There's been all kinds of things going on. But if this was just a story, do you think I would spend my time sat at the front listening? Maybe I would for a season. Maybe I would if I had children. Well, I did have a child. But, you know, but ultimately, it's got to be mean more than that. And I'm going to leave you now with a little film. And this reminds us, reminds all of us here this morning, of a course that we're running the 3rd of January. So thank you for the lights. And it's called The World We All Want.